Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. I'm your host, Rick Campos. We have some incredible interviews in the works, and we don't want you to miss a single episode, so be sure to follow us on Instagram and opt into our email list on our website for up-to-the-minute information and inspiration. This episode is the first of a three-part series recorded at Las Vegas Market. Be prepared to hear what I refer to as the energy of market in the background, as this episode is recorded right in the Essentials for Living showroom at the peak of market, while designers paraded through to shop and see what's new this season. Today, we welcome Anna Schweiss, Vice President of Design and Merchandising for Essentials for Living. You may know Anna from Star International and Orient Express, both of which now fall under the newly developed brand Essentials for Living. The family-owned furniture company has been providing stylish, quality furnishings to the design trade for 40 years. We caught up with Anna in their newly remodeled Las Vegas showroom, where we discussed the business of design as it relates to product design and brand identity. We also discussed the broad spectrum of opportunity within the design industry, from business development to design trade support. If you're wondering if you should be doing something else within the design industry and you just haven't found your place, this episode will open your mind to explore aspects of design that you may have never considered. Let's get started. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Anna Schweiss, Essentials for Living.
Thank you, Rick. I'm excited to be here and talk to you.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say. I'm excited to talk business of design with you. We're here at Las Vegas Market. Thank you for hosting the podcast and providing such a beautiful space. This is way better than my studio.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's a lot more comfortable and a lot more glamorous, I must say. Anna, let's start by talking a little bit about you and your role in the business at Essentials for Living.
I am titled as VP of Design and Merchandising. Mm-hmm. However, I wear a lot of hats, being that I'm one of the owners of the company. My parents started the business, so I'm kind of involved in all aspects of it. But my main focus at work is to do everything that you see with your eyes. So I take care of our showroom design, our marketing, and most importantly, our product, our product development.
Perfect. So it's a family business.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah. My parents started it in 1977.
Yeah.
And from then on, you know, I've just grew up with it, always in the industry. I never thought I would be working here. never planned on that. But, you know, one thing led to another. And
here you are.
Ended up here. Yeah. And I have to say that I love it.
That's incredible. You know, a family business. That's a whole other podcast, I'm sure. But how exciting to be a part of the family business. That's so great.
And it's wonderful to get to work every day with the closest people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can trust your bosses.
Oh,
you know, they're
yes.
your parents. Like, they're, and my brother works alongside me, and we are all just looking out for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I have to say, the best part of all of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, trust is a huge part of the business of design. It comes up when we're talking about people's secret to survival and the things that they, you know now that they wish they knew then. It comes up a lot. It's so important. And to have that already as integrated into your business from day one by working with family, what a luxury.
Yeah. No, I hear stories about things that are happening, you know, by their managers or different things. I'm like, I don't have to worry about any of that, which is a huge relief.
Yay. So. No drama. Check it off the list.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what Essentials for Living is.
So it's a little bit complicated, but in 1977, my parents started a company called Star International Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Star International is extreme modern. So we were catering and the best in the business, essentially, for the most modern, contemporary customers out there. Mm-hmm. So a very niche market, but we're trying to be the leader of that market and doing quite well at it. And then in the early 2000s, we began Orient Express Furniture, which was catered more towards the trends. So what's popular at the time? Back in the early 2000s, we had cherry wood solid tables and brightly colored bycast Parsons chairs.
Nice.
That's what we were known for. And I mean, it was orange and red and cherry brown. I mean, looking back, I can't believe that that ever happened. And then I graduated school and things started happening, and the trends have kind of developed otherwise. Orient Express has kind of streamlined and gotten a little bit more clean, less rustic. Star International, being extremely contemporary, has started to get a little more transitional, following kind of, you know, the more California modern trend. So they're a little less extreme. And we found that we, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice by not merging the two brands. So that's where Essentials for Living was born. We have basically always been the same company, but we were acting as two brands. We are now, for the first time in our history of 42 years, acting as one brand that's known as Essentials for Living, with all those products underneath that one brand name.
Got it.
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Actually, it's not very complicated at all.
No,
I like the idea that you merged the brands and created a new name for it, an umbrella, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our old logos are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to look at our logo, it's essentially Essentials for Living with our old Star and Orient Express logo underneath there.
Just very familiar, very recognizable for the design community. Mm-hmm. That's great. And then you have this amazing showroom at Las Vegas Market. And then you also have a presence in High Point, I understand.
Yes, so we have this showroom in Las Vegas, here in the atrium. It's quite large. We just expanded and designed this whole showroom. We're quite happy with it. We have another large showroom in High Point, in Showplace. And we have a secondary showroom in High Point that's in the lobby of Showplace. That's more of a, you know, a showcase of who we are. And then we hope to get people up to our main showroom upstairs, where we show the rest of the line.
I see.
Apart from those two markets, we have a showroom in Southern California in Orange County, that's in Foothill Ranch, and it's quite large. It's 11,000 square feet, and there we try to offer the same beautiful showroom presence that we have at Market. And that's a place where, you know, you can come any day of the week and see that showroom, whereas Las Vegas and High Point are only during Market two times a year.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, Anna, tell me a little bit about your background as far as education. Did you go to design school to be a designer? Did you go to business school? Did you know that you were going to be a part of the family business? It sounds like maybe it came out of left field a little bit, and I'm curious to hear your path.
Yeah, so I always knew I was going to go to business school because, you know, just growing up, entrepreneurial parents, you go to business school and you can do anything, right?
Right.
So I went to business school in Orange County at Chapman University and enjoyed that. And when I was finishing my bachelor's degree, my father saw an opportunity at Interior Design Institute in Orange County, Interior Design School, to do a certificate program. And he thought it would just be a great education for me to then work in the business.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, that sounds fun. So I went straight from business school to Interior Design School, and I did my certificate program in 3 months. And then I'm like, you know what? I love this. I'm going to keep going. And my dad's like, oh, that's not really what I meant. Okay. So then I kept going to school for another almost 2 years.
Right.
And I have an associate's degree in interior design. And I still can't tell you that I knew what I was going to do when I finished that. Being at business school, you know, you're kind of just learning the business, right? But in what trade? And what are you going to do? And then in design school, I felt like I don't really want to be an interior designer. I love design, but I'm not the kind of person that wants this white piece of paper. What are you going to do with it? You know, sky's the limit. I prefer to have some boundaries to design, and to I really enjoy the business side of design, to put that. And I, growing up, obviously, I said that I didn't really ever see myself in furniture, but after design school, I did some other work where I did some design work in other countries for a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I came to work for our company and started doing our showroom design and enjoying that. And other aspects of the company as well, paperwork side, just to learn the business.
The glamorous side, one might say.
Yeah, the customer service.
Not so glamorous.
Container, you know, shipping, all that kind of stuff. So thankful now, because now I know the ins and outs of the business.
Yes.
But basically, working in the showrooms at Market, I started kind of enjoying that. And I was like, okay, well, I could, you know, do design work in our company. That would be great. And one thing led to another, and I started, you know, designing a product here or there, and eventually, you know, went from one or two products a Market to now Anna is designing all of them, and the old products are getting discontinued, and the new ones are funneling in from Anna, and then the look of the company started slowly changing and becoming essentially a reflection of me.
How incredible. What a great opportunity. You know what I like about this story, this conversation, and you kind of hit the nail on the head just a second ago when you said, you know, when you're in design school, you're not so sure you really want to be, you know, pen to paper designer, but you know that you're in the right place. You know that you're in the right industry, and you are so lucky. And I hope that, you know, design students that are listening, and even emerging design professionals, or even designers who've been doing this for years and feel like they really haven't found their place. So important that every design professional know that it is a very broad industry, and there's so much opportunity, and they don't have to have a family business to fall into. You know, that worked amazingly for you, but I hope that your story inspires other designers to say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and explore. I saw an amazing showroom that I feel maybe I could be a part of, and it's more than just, you know, I like to say lampshades and shower curtains. It's, you know, it's more than just residential design. There's a huge business behind it.
Yeah, and I knew I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And at interior design school, you're learning to be an interior designer.
Correct.
They don't talk so much about the other avenues of design, that the opportunities that are out there that I wish they had.
Yes.
So I hope this does help kind of with some education on people to realize, you know, there's so many different avenues you can go down, you know, and find your place. But yeah, it was night and day business school to design school. It was like left side, right side, you know, art and, you know, structure and spreadsheets and, you know, business plans.
Right.
And so, but I'm so happy that I did that, because it's prepared me so well for what I do here.
We're sitting here giddy talking about the business of design, and it's making me laugh, because, you know, it's what I want to do. That's the message that I want to send, is that there's a whole business of design that, you know, our design community should be excited about. And not so glamorous, but you know what? It's exciting. It's invigorating.
Yeah.
And you know, look at where we are.
Well, that's what invigorates me in my work, is not only just designing a beautiful product, but coming to Market and seeing the reaction to it. That is the most gratifying part of what I do, is seeing what the customers say or getting really great sales on it. That's why I love Market. So my job here is I kind of float around and just listen.
Right.
And hear what people are saying. I answer tons of questions when they don't even ask me, because I'm like, well, I know the answer. But I just want to hear what they're saying.
So you loved it when I walked in the showroom and I took your hand and I said, oh, let me show you this desk that I love so much.
Yes, and that's one of my babies. You know, these products are my babies. So I love to see them succeed. And that's combining the two. You know, the design that you created, and then the business side of, is it selling?
Yes.
Because it doesn't help us as a company for me to design things that no one's going to buy.
Right.
You know, that doesn't help anybody, and that's not, you know, a secret to success. So so that's, you know, where I find my enjoyment, really. And I think that really comes from my father and the way that he's always done the business.
Right.
So we work very close, hand in hand, every day.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
With that being said, can you tell me, I want to talk a little bit more about your business and understand how you cater to the design community as a whole. I know you specialize in a couple of different areas of the design community, and if you could share those and explain them to us so that whoever's listening, whatever aspect of the design industry that they're in, they can understand how they fit in.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Yesterday I was sitting up front in our showroom, and I have designers coming in saying, do you sell to designers? Will you sell to me? And I was like, well, yes, of we love course. You. We are like made for you. So we have many channels. We have some large top 100 retailers who buy container loads from us. We have brick and mortar retail stores. We have e-commerce. But to be honest, our fastest growing market is our designer care department, mm-hmm. which is an internal department that we have created solely for the purpose of catering to the design trade community.
Oh.
And the reason we did that and have in-house is that designers require a lot of specialty information, such mm-hmm. as I need a swatch for my client, I need, you know, this information that I need right now, and yeah. things that only kind of the employees at the headquarters would have that information.
Mm-hmm.
So we have strategized and come up with this department whose goal is to really reach out, inform designers about us, let us know who we are, because we're an amazing resource for designers.
Right.
We have stagers, architects, builders, traditional interior design, mm-hmm. enormous firms, single designers out of their homes. Everyone is who we cater to in the trade. You'd have right. to be in the trade only. And our enormous success with them is based on our stock situation. Our company is built on having quick ship stock from both coasts, Southern California and North Carolina, at all times for wow. the entire brand. So we use our crystal ball and we order our furniture at least 4 months ahead of time.
Right.
And hopefully we're going to be accurate, you know, so that when you come along and you buy something on either warehouse,
right.
it's available to you the same day. You can come pick it up. And we have heard a lot of stories of how we've saved designers from some special order they made 6 to 8 weeks ago that didn't make it on time.
Right.
And here we are. We have it right here today. Come get it.
I love that.
So that's been great success for us.
Good.
And in turn, the designer care department is our fastest growing department now. And we are dedicating a lot of company resources to it mm-hmm. to just be the best we can for the community.
Well, I mean, we as designers, we're a little needy, so we appreciate that designer
that's
care
fine,
department.
But yeah.
We need a little hand-holding.
Yeah, but that's what we're there for, you know?
What I like about your designer care program is that you are a big company, mm-hmm. but that designer care department makes you very approachable.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us feel like we're being taken care of as individuals, and it's hard to relay that feeling when you're such a large company and to a design community who many of us feel like such a small entity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a really good move, and I'm excited to share that with the design community. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
So Anna, one of my signature questions for the podcast is, what is the secret to your survival? Which really means, what is the secret to your success? What is it mm-hmm. that drives you, that fuels you, that invigorates you to be a part of this design industry?
I would definitely have to say that the secret to our success and our growth really is our nimbleness to move with the trends.
Mm-hmm.
So Orient Express, I was saying, is kind of a trend-based company, and as well as Star being, you know, more on the contemporary side of the still following the trends.
Right.
One thing we've done throughout the years is, you know, as trends change, as do we.
Mm-hmm.
So we follow that movement, and we're always trying to stay a little bit ahead of the game
right.
that way. So, you know, and that comes from, you know, looking at other countries, what are they doing? Because the United States is not the first to get a trend.
Right.
You know, it starts in Italy, it starts in Europe, and it trickles its way down to the U.S.,
yes.
you know? And so we try and stay on top of that and have it before our competitors do.
Mm.
So when we have, you know, our customers, our designers come into our showrooms or visit our websites and see our new products, they see what's really popular right now, and by the time we have the product, mm-hmm. you know, we have to order it 4 months ahead of time, 3 or 4 months ahead of time.
Sure.
We get it, and oh, okay, it's a trend. We have it. Here you go. You can pick it up tomorrow.
Right.
So that has been a huge success for us, is really innovation
mm-hmm.
and staying on top of it and really finding what is going to be the next bestseller. So it's a combination of trend product in stock and excellent customer service.
Right.
How can we, you know, formulate ourselves to be the best resource for the variety of customers that we have. Because, yeah. I mean, our customers vary so much from, you know, the biggest stores in the country to, you know, the smallest designer in their home. Mm-hmm. One thing that many people may not realize is that we also are a source for large retail stores that white label us, such as Z Gallery carries a very large amount of our product. Mm-hmm. You walk into a Z Gallery store, you would have no idea that it comes from Essentials for Living, and it may be something that Anna's designed, but that's something that's enormous pride for me, you know, walking into one of those stores. And those are just some more channels of how we do our business.
Right.
But I would say that that's really where our success comes from, is just moving with the times and not staying stagnant. You know, brick and mortar retailers are declining. You know, they are getting overcome by e-commerce and the design community and these huge, enormous Walmart type chains are eating them up. And as a company who's trying to grow, we can't put all of our focus on small brick and mortar retailers. We love them. We do everything we can for them. We stock for them. You know, they are still an enormous business for us, but we have to move with the times. And designers are very important to us now. E-commerce is very important to us. Yeah. So that's another, you know, secret to our success, is just what's going on in the world. Right. Where should we be selling? You know, what channels should we be looking into, and how can we cater to them to be, you know, a great stock resource or whatever they might need, you know?
Yeah.
So
I love hearing this backstory to the business, you know what I mean? And as you're talking, I'm envisioning, like, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into us walking into a showroom and just seeing exactly what we want. You know, walking in, and we just expect something fresh, something new, something on trend. Mm-hmm. We have this level of expectation. And, you know, most designers have no idea how that happens. We just expect to walk into the showroom and here it is.
Mm-hmm. So, no, and it really comes down to having good sources of where your product can get designed and made. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the design comes from a piece of paper. It's a 6 to 9 month process, at least, you know, that design goes to whichever factory that we work with that I deem is the best one to make that particular product. Mm-hmm. They all have their own niche. And then, you know, they take our drawing, they make a CAD drawing, we work on it, we tweak it, we approve it, we look at the materials it's going to be made out of, a prototype sample is made, either myself or my brother will fly overseas to look at it, make tweaks, make changes, you know, and then once it's perfect, it's a month on the water to get to us, you know, on a freight cargo ship, along with hundreds of other products in a container. And then it's looked at again at our showroom, and it's probably going to go to market, you know.
Right.
And then you come to Las Vegas or High Point, and 4 times a year, we have a presentation of 30 to 60 new products every market. So it's about every 3 months.
Right.
So it's just this churning of product.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And we try to be selective and only show, you know, what we have a good feeling about. Okay, this is a no-brainer. And a lot of times we'll sit at the office before we even come to market. We've already bought it because we're like, oh, yeah, that's a done deal. Everyone's going to love that product. And based on knowing our customers, we have a pretty good sense of what will work and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we can say at market to a customer is, oh, yeah, it's already on its way. It'll be here in a couple weeks. Or we're showing it and it's already in stock.
That's awesome.
Which is, you know, really cool.
Yeah.
So, and our customers are kind of getting to know that about us.
Yes.
And they love that. They know they can come to market, see something brand new that they've never seen before, and it's already in stock on both coasts.
Right.
So.
Great.
Yeah.
So, Anna, what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
That's a funny question. Thinking about that, I feel like, I think a lot of people say this, but in design, in business and design school, I wish I, like, in a way, I'd like to go back, because I would learn, I would be so different. Now, just having life experience, that's what just changes everything. And knowing, you know, when I was 10 years old building drawers in the warehouse for my parents, like, that I was going to one day be doing this, you know, that would be pretty cool. So I wish I had a crystal ball and I knew where I was going to end up.
Right.
I think I would have learned even more when I had that, you know, when I was in school and I was, you know, starting to work and all that. But, you know, you can't ever go back and, you know, get there. But, you know, at the time, it's kind of exciting to not know either what you're going to end up doing.
The mystery.
Yeah. So I'm really happy with where I've ended up.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, if you knew where you were going to be, there's even more you could have probably done at that time,
sure.
you know, to get here. So,
sure.
But I ended up here, so I can't really complain. But,
I know that's a tough question because you do. It makes you kind of look back and reflect and you're like, well, I kind of wouldn't change anything, but maybe I would. Like, there is no crystal ball, but I think
my personal life, I probably changed quite a bit.
Oh, sure. That's a whole other show. But I think we can all say that, you know, if we probably paid a little closer attention and maybe we're a little more fearless, mm-hmm. I think whenever someone that I'm interviewing answers that question, it always makes me reflect and I kind of go back to that fearlessness.
Yeah, like it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, these are just the steps along the way, right?
Right.
And paying your dues a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes the customer service people will chat with me and I know exactly what they're doing or what they're going through. And they're like, you do? I'm like, well, yeah. When I first worked here when I was in high school, I was doing this. And,
yeah.
you know, I've done the filing. I've done all that. And at the time I was like, oh, I have to file.
Right.
You know, but now I'm like, well, I know the job. So yeah. I'm thankful for that now.
For sure. For sure. How would you say, Anna, that you pay it forward in the design community?
I would say that, you know, having our membership with ASID, we try to reach out and be part of that community as much as possible. We have donated to design firms in the past for the Philharmonic Home that some of our design customers have worked on. We have done ASID events at our showroom in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
We are planning currently a monthly meeting for ASID where we're going to be, you know, housing them and having, I think there's an educational credit involved in that evening and, you know, a dinner and catering and whatnot. So we try to be involved in our community and really nationwide with ASID.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of marketing with them and reach out. Secondly, we, for the design community, have our designer care department, which is completely catered for the design community. And we go to staging events and all sorts of design community events mm-hmm. to try and really get the word out about us to service the design community in
right.
any way we can. So that's another kind of aspect of it that we try to really do for the community.
Right. Do you have a message for the design community? Do you have a message that you would like to send out to the design community? Rather, it's directed towards established interior designers, emerging design professionals, students, or all. What would be your message to the design community?
I think I would say two things. One is that if you're struggling to find your niche, you know, don't worry. There's so many avenues you can take, you know, and I'd say just do what you're passionate about. If you, you know, love the business end of design, get in there. Work for a company that does design work and do some business side of it. Do some business development or something else. You know, it doesn't have to be this one track. And secondly, I would say that, you know, us as a company love designers. So, you know, I want to get that message out that we have this channel for you. And we are open to ideas. If you come to us and say, you know, hey, it would be awesome if you offered this, we are all ears. We are just trying to be the best we can for our customers, really. So I think my big message would be that we're here. We have everything in stock on both coasts, and we want to service you.
So how do we find you? How do we find you on the web? And how do we get to learn more about you through social media, which I know is the way?
So through our brand merge that we just did, mm-hmm. we have a new website that we call essentialsforliving.com. And on there, it's basically a landing page to get to Orient Express or Star. In the next couple months, that's going to be all fused together and only be one website. But in the time being, it's two separate websites. But I still urge you to go to essentialsforliving.com. And there you'll see both brands. Once you get in, register, please. Once you register, all you have to do is just submit who you are and that you are part of the trade. And then you'll be approved to be part of the web store. And you'll see everything. All the products completely up to date, the price, your specific price, inventory on both coasts. You can see everything in order to really, you know, spec your job out and have that information for you and your client. Right. So I urge you to do that. On the web stores, we have all of our social media links, biggest being our Instagram account, which is Essentials for Living, at Essentials for Living with a underscore. But I think if you just write Essentials for Living, it's easy to find.
Yeah, it comes right up.
And share your photos with us. Please tag us. And we love to reshare all of our customers' work.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Anna, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the podcast. This has been such a great conversation. I'm a little energized right now. I know that the listeners can't see me, but I'm like giving you thumbs up and I'm kind of jumping up and down. And if this was on video, I'd look pretty ridiculous.
He's on the sofa.
But I just think this was such a valuable conversation to have. And like I've always said from the beginning, the whole reason that I started the podcast is so that I can continue to have conversations like this with design professionals like you and not only benefit personally and professionally, but share that information with everyone else. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm just so honored to be part of this. So I really appreciate having the opportunity to do this with you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Thanks.
What an enlightening conversation with Anna. I'm so enamored with her design path, especially with the fact that she studied business and interior design, all the while not really knowing where her combined studies would lead her. Anna worked her way through the ranks of the family business, which also schooled her in becoming the businesswoman and design professional that she is today. The business of design is bigger than just residential, commercial, or hospitality. There's an entire world of products, skilled trades, and manufacturers out there that account for a huge part of the design community. Your passion and education in interior design is limitless and transcends beyond color consultations, remodels, and home staging. I'll be the first to admit that my place in the design community has very little to do with the physical act of designing and more to do with business, leadership, and influence as it relates to the design community. I believe the more design professionals that acknowledge the diversity of the industry, the bigger and stronger the design community will become. After a decade in the business, I truly believe that I've found my place. Have you? I hope this conversation with Anna inspires you to explore your passion for design and prompts you to think outside the box and explore new and unexpected paths. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, get out there and inspire.